Turn with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, beginning with verse 36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we witness the agony of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And through these events, speak to us today. Open our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, some of you are here and you're overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed with the tasks of your work. You're overwhelmed with an illness or a separation in your family. You're overwhelmed with life. And I have some quotes for you that I'd like to share when you're overwhelmed. When life gets hectic and you feel overwhelmed, take a moment to focus on the people and things you are most grateful for. When you have an attitude of gratitude, frustrating troubles will fall by the wayside. And this is a great week to have an attitude of gratitude, even though you might feel overwhelmed about the day of Thanksgiving and all the preparations. Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength, carrying 2 days at once. It is moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. Anxiety is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you very far. It's okay to be scared. Being scared means you're about to do something really, really brave. I promise you, nothing is as chaotic as it seems. Nothing is worth diminishing your health. Nothing is worth poisoning yourself into stress, anxiety, and fear. And the last one I'd like to share, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the Apostle Paul. In Exodus 33, we find Moses was overwhelmed. He's leading the people of Israel out of Egypt, and he's overwhelmed with their rebellion against God and their whining, "We don't have any food, we don't have any water, we should have stayed back in Egypt." And Moses goes before God up on Mount Sinai and he says, "God, I am so overwhelmed with these people you've given me to lead. I need your help." And God said, "I will be with you. And I will give you rest. Is there anything else you desire?" And he says, "Show me your glory." And God said to Moses, "No man can see the face of God and live." And so he placed Moses in the cleft of the rock. And as God walked by to share his glory with Moses, he covered him with his hand. And God walked by. Then he removed his hand and Moses could see the back of God as he passed by. But even though he didn't see the face of God, it was still a radiance that Moses displayed when he came off of the mountain. He was glowing. It's like that glow ball that we have. You stick it under a light and then you take it into the dark place and it glows. Moses had that glow of being in the presence of God. And you may feel overwhelmed. And when you focus upon the trial and the trouble and the stress and you focus on the situation, it's going to seem overwhelming and it's going to steal your joy and it's going to steal your sleep and it's going to seem too big. But instead of focusing on the problem and the trial, focus upon God and say, show me your glory, and realize that He is much bigger than any problem we face in this life. His power is much greater than anything we have to deal with. And so as we turn to our text, we find that Jesus was overwhelmed with sorrow. Verse 38, my soul is very sorrowful even to death. I am so overwhelmed to death. And so you've been there. But so has Jesus. And He knows how it feels. Queen Victoria had heard of one of the young ladies in the kingdom who was married to just a young laborer, had learned that she had lost her baby. And knowing loss herself, she left the kingdom and paid a visit to this young lady and spent the day with her. And after Queen Victoria left, the neighbors came and said, well, what did the queen say? He said, the queen didn't say anything. She just placed her hands on mine and we cried together. Jesus was overwhelmed with sorrow, but yet there was no one there to show any compassion to Him. He had shown compassion to everyone. To the woman at the well, He had shown her a new life. To the crippled, He showed compassion and He was able to walk. To the blind, He made see. To the leper, He became whole. But no one was there for Jesus. No one had the time. Not even Peter, James, and John, who He took off with Him and said, can you not pray with me for an hour? Perhaps they're thinking, what does Jesus have to be worried about? We saw Him cry when Lazarus died, but He raised him from the dead, no problem. We saw Him hurt for the lame man and the leper and the woman at the well, but it was no problem for Him. But here is God in the flesh, Jesus, fully man, and He is lonely, all alone, perhaps the lowest time in His life on this earth. Even though He was God in the flesh, He set aside His deity and He was fully man. And you're saying, but what about the miracles? The miracles He performed them the same way the apostles did, by the power of the Holy Spirit that came on Him. It wasn't power that He had at birth, because He set aside the power. He set aside His deity. And He was just the man who worked through the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon Him like a dove in His baptism. And the apostles, they had the same powers that came upon them on the day of Pentecost through the Holy Spirit. So He is a man, fully man. He chose to live nothing beyond a man on this earth. And He is overwhelmed with sorrow. Yet no one would show Him compassion. A man saw a young or an elderly lady being given a hard time from a motorcycle gang. And showing compassion upon her, he came to her aid and he punched the lead guy from that motorcycle, the head of the gang, right in the nose. Well, standing at the gates, the pearly gates, St. Peter was about to let him. I don't, you know, it's a story or a joke if St. Peter's at the gates. I don't know why we have all these stories, because he's not going to be at the gates. Maybe it's because Jesus gave him the keys to the kingdom that this assumption is made that he's going to be at the gates. He has the keys. He's going to open them and let people in. But the keys, he shared the keys on the day of Pentecost and through the book of Acts. Peter preached what were the keys to the kingdom of heaven. But in this story, the man shows up and Peter says, I need to know, is there one act of kindness that you showed up on earth? And he said, yes. There was a little old lady. And this motorcycle gang was giving her a rough time, so I went over and I punched the head of the motorcycle gang. Peter said, well, when did that happen? He said, oh, about 30 seconds ago. No one was there to show compassion for Jesus. And we find that he fell with his face down to the ground. He was down, face to the ground as he prayed. Three times he humbled himself, laying there on the ground, humbling himself before God, the Heavenly Father. He humbled himself and became a man, and now the sorrow is too overwhelming, and he's humbling himself before God three times as he falls face down before God. There was a story that came out of Greensboro, North Carolina, that a trucker was on a side street and he misjudged the height of the bridge to the height of the truck and he became lodged. That truck was lodged underneath that bridge. Oh, he was now overwhelmed. What am I going to do? I need help. He called for help and the wrecker company came with their trucks and the experts showed up and they tried and they tugged and they pulled and they could not get that truck free. There was a young boy watching, he was with a crowd of people that were just enthralled what was happening. As one of the workers walked by, he said, I've got an idea. Now those experts could have said, young man, just leave it to the experts, you stay back. And he said, no, I've got an idea. But they humbled themselves and said, we'll take any idea you've got. He said, how about let air out of the tires? And they did. And they were able to pull it free and aired them back up. Jesus, the Son of God, humbled himself. Filled with great sorrow, certainly much greater issue than a stuck truck. And there he fell three times face down before God. You've been there. Maybe you've been there. You've been so overwhelmed with sorrow, overwhelmed with grief, overwhelmed with what am I going to do, that you fell down before God and said, God, help me. And what did he pray? Verse 39 as well, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. If it is your will, Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, yours be done. This cup may have been the cup of judgment. Throughout the Old Testament, the cup referred to a cup of judgment. And maybe that's the cup he was referring to. He knew the cross was coming. He knew the crucifixion was coming. But maybe it was beyond that, that he who knew no sin became our sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. That he embodied in some supernatural way the world's sins, all of your sins, all of my sins. And he became those sins upon the cross. And maybe his sorrow was the idea of carrying the weight of the world, the sins of the world. Knowing that a holy God that man cannot even see his face and live. But he is so holy that he cannot bear sin in his presence. And so when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Perhaps that was God turning his back upon the Son because he could not bear the sin that his Son became on the cross for you and me. There was an umpire named Babe Pinelli who was behind the plate when Babe Ruth was up to bat. It was a full count. 3 balls, 2 strikes. The pitch came through and Babe watched it go right by him. And with that, the umpire spoke up, "Strike 3, you're out." At that, the crowd, "Boo! Get glasses, you're blind, you can't see. That was not a strike. What are you doing?" And Babe turned to the umpire, and both sides were a little nervous. They thought it was going to break out in a fight in any moment. He said, 40,000 people know that that was a ball. And the umpire stood up, got in Babe's face and said, "Yes, but my opinion is the one that counts." The woman at the well knew Jesus was innocent. The lame man who could walk knew Jesus was innocent. Those who were raised from the dead knew Jesus was innocent. Caiaphas, the high priest, and the Sanhedrin, amidst all those who knew he was innocent, declared him guilty. But it didn't matter, because the one opinion that mattered was the one to whom he cried out, "Not my will, but yours be done." And he surrendered himself to the will of the Father. "Not my will. It's the only one that counted." Verse 53, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will not at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the Scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, 'Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled.'" The one opinion that counted was the one who determined long before that Jesus would suffer and die on a cross. A father carried his 4-year-old daughter home from his wife's funeral. And the neighbor said, "Won't you come and stay with us tonight?" He said, "No, we need to face this. Together, we'll face this the first night in our home." And that night he brought his 4-year-old daughter's bed into his room. There they both cried, had trouble going to sleep. And when her crying had stopped and he thought she was asleep, he cried out, "God, it is darker than midnight, but I still trust you." Then she began to cry again. "Oh, baby, I didn't know you were still awake." She said, "Daddy, have you ever known it to be this dark? Daddy, it's so dark, but I know you're there. and I know you love me. And with that, he reached down and he pulled her up into his arms, and there he held her until she fell asleep. And those words echoed in his mind, and he looked up and said, "Father, I know you are there, even though it's dark. And even though I can't see you, I know you love me. We need you." And he fell asleep. Heavenly Father, sometimes life is so overwhelming. There are those here today who are just overwhelmed with family situation, financial situation, a health situation, a loss of someone near and dear. But the greatest thanks that we can give to you is to trust you and to surrender to you and to your Son Jesus. A heart of gratitude, so we will praise you in the storm. We will thank you in the storms of life. Sometimes you calm the storms. Sometimes you calm the child. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Maybe it's time for you to step out and let go of whatever is weighing you down. Maybe it's to say, I need special prayer. We'd love to pray for you. Maybe it's, I need to recommit my life and trust in the Lord with this, with my life. I haven't been trusting Him. Or maybe it's to surrender and say, "Lord Jesus, I believe that you are. And I'm calling upon you to save me. Being buried with Him in a watery grave of baptism, raised into new life." Whatever your decision might be, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing.